Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest,
Melbourne Five Piece, the Paper Kites in studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Yes, good morning. I'll be Jason Fetty all morning. And today, you'll have another chance to win some concert tickets with the Daily Scramble Live game. Ask yourself this: will you have to beat the Brit, name the slang, sing the kazoon, eat the chair? I don't know. I got nothing. But anyway, who knows? It's a thing, isn't it, Tyler?
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And the Paper Kites, this band, they're huge in Australia. And they're on a North American tour in support of their second album that just came out. They'll play a stripped-down set for us later on.
That's cool. They're from Melbourne. Pronounced Melbourne.
Ah, thank you.
Yep. And, of course, we'll do local and international news, help you meditate or mediate your life with a sorbet of the day. It's Daily Scramble Live!
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
First up in local news this morning, the Greeter documentary has just launched its Indiegogo campaign. A local first-time director named Marty Uchuk just finished directing a documentary about the 125-year history of greeting here in Laguna Beach and how special and unique it is to have someone in your community dedicating their life to making everyone's day brighter. The filmmaker set a fundraising goal of $55,000 on Indiegogo, which would provide them a budget to finish the film and promote it around the world. Even if the ultimate goal isn't reached, it's set up so every dollar you pledge to support the Greeter will be used on the film's production. Just go to Indiegogo and search for the Greeter documentary. Also here in Orange County, with just 43 days before Christmas, the Outlets at San Clemente, a project 18 years in the making, has opened. The 500,000-square-foot mall with ocean views has been a bustle of finishing touches in recent days as retailers stock shelves, holiday decorations went up, and a Christmas tree was put in place. Steve Craig, the Outlet Mall's developer, expects 4 to 5 million people a year to make their way through the center. He believes visitors will include Southern California tour groups as they make their way up or down the coast.
That's a local news story, really, isn't it?
It is.
I'd say.
It is local.
That's big news. New mall opens locally.
18 years, though.
I know. Well, I wonder why. Because it's got ocean views, probably, and it's a big deal sort of location.
Yeah, man.
Where is it?
San Clemente.
I want to go there.
Go.
I like malls.
It's an outlet mall, so... Right now, the closest outlets for us are probably what? Cabazon?
Where's that?
Or Commerce?
Commerce, that's the big one.
Yeah. Outlets aren't closed. There's not a lot of closed outlet malls.
No.
So that's a big deal, actually.
On the way to Vegas. It's not that great, though, is it? They're not usually actually that great.
They're just so crowded.
They're crowded, and the deals are not as exciting as you would expect them to be. And frankly, it's all last year's clothes, Tyler and I. You know me, I would never wear last year's clothes, you know.
Outlet malls on like Black Friday look like a zombie apocalypse. not where I want to be. Let's look in international news this morning.
I don't know why I'm finding you so funny this morning.
I don't either.
You've been very funny.
Thank you, Jason.
Tyler's been very funny stumbling around the place, complaining to himself because he can't get his computer to charge and just stumbling around. It's been very funny. I don't know why. Sometimes you tickle me.
And, yeah, okay.
Never mind.
Do you want a story about pot?
Yeah, go on, why not? I mean, they're so silly, these news stories. You know, the Kurds are about to retake a big city in northern Syria, and Sweden's going to bring in migrant border checks.
And, how do you know I'm not getting to that?
No, I don't know. Go on. Sorry, I don't mean to...
Spoiler alert, I'm not. All right. A couple dozen servicemen and women marched to the White House this Veterans Day and dumped a large box of empty pill containers, calling on the president and other federal officials to make medical marijuana accessible to veterans. Here's what the over-medication of our veterans look like, they said, as they spilled the canisters onto the floor. We don't want it. the veterans and protesters affiliated with various veteran and marijuana advocacy organizations argued that Veterans Affairs hospitals are over-medicating veterans, prescribing them a large number of psychoactive medications to treat PTSD. All they really want to do is smoke some weed. And they were actually smoking joints along the way while they were marching in D.C., which is highly illegal.
Woo! Look at us. We're smoking weed and stuff.
Yeah.
They're going to run out of steam, aren't they? Because that's what happens when you smoke loads of weed. They're just going to, like, see a pizza place.
Hey, guys!
They never made it because they never made it. Saw some pizza places on the way and just stopped. And, yeah. But it's a bit of a skewed sort of view of the world. It doesn't, it's not, the problem with healthcare in this country is not the fact that marijuana is still illegal in most states. That's not what's wrong with healthcare here. It's true that we're over-medicated, for sure. Definitely.
Oh, absolutely. We're an we're a medicated society.
We, you know, obviously we're very lucky here at KX93.5 and we have quite good health insurance. And I've noticed this, maybe it's the same the world over, but the doctors in the hospitals, even though they're very efficient and they're all business and they're cool, they keep on top of things. They make mistakes now and again, but they keep on top of things generally. But what, in effect, what they are is medication shops.
Totally. Absolutely.
That's what really happens.
So do you believe that marijuana is a good alternative?
I think there are lots of alternatives. I remember going, and I remember being surprised, going back to England, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years, just before I got married, and Ava had some tummy problems. She just was feeling like a little bloated, and she didn't know what was wrong with her, and they ran a bunch of tests, and they said it's sort of a common problem in women, and blah, 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 whatever it was, and then we went to a hospital visit to find out what the real answer to this was going to be, and I was sure they were going to operate, or certainly give her some sort of serious medication for this. She was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, have you considered green tea? And Ava said, no. What? He said, yeah, you should drink green tea a couple of times a day. Go get green tea, buy it from any store. And he said, the Chinese medical, little medical stores, they've got the freshest stuff, the best stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because they take it very seriously. Supermarket, it could be dried out old stuff. And I said, that's what you're going to prescribe? Like, you're not going to give her any drugs, nothing. You're not going to go to the store and buy green tea. And he said, yeah, that's the answer.
Did it work?
It did work.
Wow.
To some degree.
Where were you?
In England.
Yeah, just a
I remember thinking, that's amazing.
Philosophy.
Amazing that they would, a real doctor would prescribe that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not some sort of airy-fairy, like, oh, go and sit on a, go meditate or whatever. It was some serious, proper kind of medical advice. But he wasn't interested in selling her drugs because obviously he doesn't make any money by selling her drugs because it's socialized medicine and he doesn't get anything.
Maybe you've hit the nail on the head of the difference.
He doesn't get anything.
Yeah.
He's got nothing to win by prescribing medication that may or may not work.
Well, veterans just want to smoke weed, so.
Yeah, they should do then if they want. Thanks for your service. Have a toke on that. Fine, innit? I mean, it's fine, innit? Innit?
In.
Innit?
Oh.
We'll do it, fine.
Finally this morning,
yeah.
Egyptian antiquities officials have scoffed at claims by Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson that Egypt's ancient pyramids were not built as tombs for kings, but rather used to store grain.
Oh my God.
Does he even deserve a response? Said Mahmoud El-Damati, the antiquities minister.
I love that guy, Mahmoud El-Damati. I'm serious. I love that guy.
Really?
Seen him on the History Channel loads.
Oh.
Very enthusiastic.
I'm not familiar with him.
Cool guy.
He says he doesn't deserve a response. Carson expounded upon his personal theory. He said that Joseph built the pyramids to store grain. He referred to the Old Testament story of Joseph predicting famine and advising the Pharaoh to store surplus food.
No, no response is required to that. There's a lot of controversy or controversy over the pyramids and what they were used for.
Yeah, but still.
They're not grain stores.
It's very clear that there's some kings buried at the bottom of
them. All right, let me explain to you. There's this massive pyramid at Giza. If you've ever been, it's the hugest thing you've ever seen. And then they've done these x-ray things where they can show what the makeup of it is, how much brick and stuff, and how much space there is in there. And there's a tiny bit of space inside
of
it. It's a really inefficient grain store. I'm telling you. They weren't that stupid, the Egyptians.
Although I've watched a really cool episode on Ancient Aliens about how pyramids really are beacons to
Ancient Aliens.
To space.
I'm not quite there yet.
I used
yet
to
Netflix.
Watch Ancient Aliens every day.
When I've watched a few more Netflix shows, I really can't find anything else to watch. I'll watch the Ancient Aliens.
My view on the world was getting crazy.
I have an ethical question for you.
Go ahead.
Should we do it now or do you want to wait?
Let's finish the news and do it in a bit.
Okay.
Is that okay? I've got one more thing.
No, that's cool.
I want you to finish the headline.
Right.
It's a new study. New survey. A new study shows the more garlic you eat, the more...
Okay, finish the headline.
The more garlic you've eaten. How much money was spent on that? A bunch of students had to go to Mauritius to spend 14 weeks on the beach to figure out the more garlic you eat, the smarter you are.
Close. Not really.
The thinner you are.
The more garlic you eat, the more attractive you'll smell to women.
Wow, that's can't
this
be right.
This is big news.
That can't be right.
Conventional wisdom obviously says you should avoid eating garlic if you're going to try to pick up a woman.
Right.
But a new study in Scotland.
Okay, the new. You've probably got a Scottish bed track if you want it. Nah, forget it. It's all right.
Found that the more garlic men ate, the more attractive they were to women because that their what is it? Pheromones or something?
One of those things, yeah.
Yeah. Smelled healthier to women's biology.
Probably only in Scotland, though.
It's an antibiotic property. It's the sign that the guy's healthy. And women rated men higher in four categories when they'd eaten at least four cloves of garlic. Pleasantness, attractiveness, masculinity, and intensity.
Listen, when all you've eaten that day is a deep-fried Mars bar, soggy fish and chips... And haggis. If that's all you've had to eat that day, that's what you've been smelling all day. Garlic smells great. 3-week-old smut garlic on your breath smells fantastic.
Perfect. That's your news today. Daily Scramble Live. You want to talk about something coming up?
Yeah, I'd like to. I've got a couple of things now that you mentioned the garlic, and now an ethical question about a protein shake.
The Interrupters, they're called kind of the revolution of ska. And I think they're pretty cool, actually.
I bet they're great live. Good fun live. And also, totally. In, you know, last call in a bar in somewhere in the north of England where it's nice and warm inside and freezing cold outside and everybody's half drunk and that music comes on very loud and everybody sings along. Just picture it now. Brilliant.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Brilliant fun, yeah.
What's going on with you, Jason Fetty?
Oh, I've got an ethical, not an ethical question, philosophical.
Okay.
Not sure what school of philosophy, probably not ethics. Have you ever been to Ethics? It's just south of London. south of London, Ethics. Never mind. Okay, so I've got this protein shake. I quite like these protein shakes, and I'm a big fan of chocolate, as you know.
Mm.
But when it comes to the protein shake, I prefer strawberry, and I can't explain that.
Wow, you just said strawberry. Say it like you would really say it.
Strawberry.
Yeah.
Strawberry.
Yeah.
Strawberry.
Don't conform, Jason.
Do you know what your strawberry is in Cockney rhyming slang? It's your heart.
Okay.
I remember my dad once saying, I've never forgotten that. You know, you remember little snippets from your childhood. And my dad was describing somebody to a friend of his, an older gentleman. And he said, you know him. He's the geezer with the dodgy strawberry. And I've never forgotten it. Strawberry tart. Heart.
It's one of the most British sentences I've ever heard.
Oh, it's all right. You know him. He's the geezer with the dodgy strawberry. Never forgotten it. Anyway, so strawberry protein shake here. I've got, very nice, 1 gram of sugar, so nice, low sugar, low fat, 24 vitamins and minerals, and 160 calories, not bad, 30 grams of protein, so it's quite a wholesome thing, really, for breakfast or, you know, before breakfast. What's the pre-breakfast meal? You can't have a pre-breakfast meal.
No, there's no
such
thing.
Because it's the break fast.
First meal of the day.
Yeah.
That is your breakfast.
Although I will probably eat something that looks more like breakfast food at around about 11:30, 12 o'clock.
My breakfast is a handful of corn pops and a shortbread cookie, so you're doing a little better.
Say that again.
A handful of corn pops and a shortbread cookie.
Handful of corn pops and a shortbread cookie. That'd be one of those songs for the end of the night. Right. So the protein shake I've got here, strawberries and cream. I'm not convinced it might not be that good. But anyway, I've got them cheap at Costco, and I brought one with me the other day to work. I haven't drunk it yet. Put it in the fridge. Okay. Now it's got a screw top on it, plastic screw top.
Right.
And when you turn the plastic screw top, when it's brand new, it makes a clicking sound.
Yeah.
Because it breaks the seal.
Yeah. Are you going to do it right now?
No, because it's already been done.
Oh.
The seal has been broken. But when I look inside the bottle of stuff, the sort of plastic bottle thing, the strawberries and cream milkshake is right to the top. Nobody's drunk anything out of it.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Very small sip.
Your ethics question is,
what do I do now?
So you're not concerned that somebody at work had any of it?
It doesn't look like they've had it. It really doesn't look. It looks like somebody's just opened it and smelled it or something. Or I don't know why they've done it.
And then decided against drinking it, maybe?
Why have they done it? Why? I'm just some drunk volunteer at like 1:30 in the morning is coming staggering.
Here's something that you may not have considered that actually could be a more real problem.
Go on.
The seal could have been broken when you bought it.
Oh,
and
if
that's the case,
then you never drink it.
You're definitely not supposed to drink it.
And I'm not drinking it. What a shame. I was looking forward to that. Gosh darn it.
Are you sure the seal was... It's possible you picked it up and squeezed it a little too hard and it kind of popped out. Or
it didn't feel right. You just know, don't you? You just turn the thing and you go, that's too easy. There's something wrong about that. I've got protein bars in the closet out there. They're under lock and key. I have a whole system.
Would
nobody
you eat one of your
those.
Protein bars if it was just a little bit torn, just the wrapping was just a little bit? Wow.
Probably not.
It's a tough question.
Don't know. I've got the thing about hygiene since I read a story earlier in the week that 50% of poo is bacteria. So you have to wash your hands. It's not just a sign on the bathroom wall. 50% of what makes up a poo is bacteria. It's crawling. You've got to wash your hands. You cannot stop. You cannot go, oh, never mind.
You're losing it.
Oh. Well, I'm not, you know me. You're much more hygiene conscious than
right.
me.
Right. No, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad you're coming around a little
bit. I think what doesn't kill you gives
I'm not obsessive. I just like clean things.
No, you're a little obsessive.
Yeah.
You
I am. Yeah, I definitely am.
No, you're really conscious of it. Whereas I'm, you know, the old school, what doesn't kill you gives you a nasty rash. And that's okay.
So you're not going to drink the drink.
I can't drink it. I want to drink it.
Are you assigning blame to someone here, or are you assigning blame to the protein shake manufacturer?
I'm not the kind of person who's assigning blame.
I'm just curious. Deep in your gut, what do you think happened?
I think somebody's opened it, had a sniff, and put it back in. I don't know why.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Why would anybody do that?
It doesn't matter. Okay, you did it. Whatever. But here's the trick now for me. I'm going to have to pour this out.
Why?
Into the sink or something.
Just throw it away.
I'll have to throw it away. Because if it sits here for much longer, I will drink it.
Go throw it out.
Daily Scramble Live.
We were involved in something pretty cool. Bit of a serious note this morning for you. There was a competition locally called a Song for Alzheimer's Orange County Music Competition. And the winner has finally been announced after a couple months of submissions to basically write a song that would... raise awareness for Alzheimer's victims.
Raise awareness.
Someone has won, and in addition to getting the song revealed on our radio station, debuted on our radio station, they will also get to perform at the Walk to End Alzheimer's this weekend in Angel Stadium in front of more than 8,000 people. So that's a pretty cool prize.
That's really great. They're doing. I mean, when they say Walk to End Alzheimer's, obviously walking isn't going to end Alzheimer's, but it's a sponsored walk, right, presumably, to pay for research into. And there's some really, as far as I can remember, really good new research into Alzheimer's, what it's all about, how it occurs in the brain, the neurology of it. And they're not close to a cure, but they're, you know, further along the line. So it's a big deal at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I've had at least two family members suffer from this.
Have you really?
Two, yeah, both my dad and mom's side. And it is the worst disease anybody can get because your body is pretty much there.
Mm-hmm.
But your mind, it couldn't be farther from this planet.
It's the person that you lose the person, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what's hardest about it because there's just no awareness, you know. And, you know, my parents have a lot of fear of, like, it's not supposed to be genetic, but there's something to the fact that both sides of my family suffered from it. It's a very challenging disease, and you're right, there is no cure, but they do have different treatments or experiments they do all the time to help improve people who suffer from it. Alzheimer's Association, the Orange County chapter, is who put on this contest with Wahoo's Fish Tacos and with OC Caravan and with ourselves. So there are all these songs that were submitted, musical groups, acoustic artists, and they basically wrote an original song. They were challenged to write an original song and submit it for this competition.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to remember while you were talking a recent movie that I watched about a case of Alzheimer's, and it was the Glenn Campbell movie, I'll Be Me. It's really worth watching. He's very candid about it goes from the first diagnosis, because his wife knew that he had Alzheimer's. She was convinced. So they film him going to the doctor and getting the first results from his first test, and the doctor saying to him, "Yeah, you've got the onset of Alzheimer's," and he's a little shocked, but he's okay about it because he feels fine.
Right.
He says, "Oh, I lose my keys sometimes. But his wife knows it's more than that." And then they film the progression, and they talk to his family, and it's really quite brave of him and his family to have done that.
Absolutely.
In the name of getting the message out.
Yeah.
About Alzheimer's, it really is horrible for the family, for sure.
So we want to do the little that we can to support this cause. And our job in this contest is to play the winning song.
Cool.
So the guy who won is named Mike Hayes. And Richard Curiel also is on this song. And the name of the song is Hallowed Wings. We're going to play it for you now. Again, this is a local guy who wrote a song about Alzheimer's awareness and won the competition. He'll get to perform it for the Walk to End Alzheimer's this weekend, which is really cool, I think, for him.
Yeah, fantastic. Good for him. Brilliant.
And I would encourage you to go to the Alzheimer's Association, the Orange County chapter. You can find their website, or you can go to facebook.com/ALZOC or twitter.com/OCAlzheimer's and learn more and support a really important cause that really at times seems pretty helpless. But I'm sure there are things you can do to contribute. Shall we play the song?
Let's play the song.
Your eyes show the years of the past, a shadowed remembrance at best. Somehow the time didn't last, the dreams of a youth put to rest. You've had your chance to fly, hollowed wings can't keep you up. If you're too scared to try, your best course has been flung. There's no place to hide. You're not all alone, I'm there by your side. It's no shame to grow old. You kept what you need to get by. With time, many plans fell to waste. Still, you found reason to try, finding solace in accepting God's grace. You've had your chance to fly, hollowed wings can't keep you up. If you're too scared to try, your best course has been flown. There's no place to hide. You're not all alone, I'm there by your side. It's no shame to grow old. Precious the time that we nurture the past. Even still with regret, some thoughts slip through the cracks. Sadly, they fall in between. They get lost and untethered, it seems. Somewhere you still have your dreams, even with hollowed wings. Even with hollowed wings. shadowed remembrance at best.
Here's your morning surf report with Eco Warrior James Pribram on KX93.5.
All right. The King joins us a couple times a week to tell us what's going on in the ocean. All I know, James, is it's very cold. I'm very cold.
It's chilly, isn't it?
Yes.
I like it, though. It's kind of fun.
It's actually beautiful. It was 58 degrees driving in today.
It was 40-something on the canyon a couple nights ago.
Yeah, well, the canyon gets really cold because the wind whips through it, you know. Yeah. But driving in, Ava said to me, it's so cold, isn't it? I said, yeah, and she said, 58 degrees, that'll be like a nice warm summer's day in Britain.
58 or 48?
It was 58 coming in. So, but of course, I suppose the car had warmed up. It was in the garage in Aliso Viejo, so it's probably a lot warmer there than it would be down here at the beach, I think.
Yeah, because the low last night was 46.
Yeah, that's cold, pretty, man.
That's nippy, huh?
It is nippy, but it's not close to freezing, is it, really?
No, not even close,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I still see some people without wetsuits swimming out there, so yeah. I don't know how you guys do it.
It hasn't been me for quite a while, I tell you.
Yeah. They cover themselves in lamp oil, don't they?
Lump oil.
That's how the whales do it. Covered in blubber.
Oh boy, lump oil.
All right, James, we're going to shut up. What's going on?
Oh, no, let's keep going. That's funny. I got tears. Well, I tell you, we don't have a lot going out there. It's pretty darn flat today. It's about 1 foot, and I'm going to leave it at 1 foot. And we got a high tide this morning at 8:24 a.m., 5.84. Low tide, what's the minus low tide? 3:24 p.m., a minus 0.23. Like I said, surf is flat, but the weather's nice if you like lump oil. The water temp is about 61 right now, and we're looking at a high of 73, beautiful skies, no clouds, and a low tonight of 49, looking at a northeast wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour. We're coming southwest in the morning, and that south wind should hopefully warm up our ocean. And that's today's weather and surf, brought to you from Lump Oil.
Sponsored by Lump Oil. If you are covered in lump oil, by the way, don't strike any matches.
Why, is this stuff flammable?
Oh, it's very, very flammable. You'll be a lump oil. You turn yourself into a wick.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's funny.
James, you're the best surf reporter around.
You are.
We're blessed to have you.
No worries. My pleasure. And don't forget, sold out tonight. Got special guest David Vanderveen.
Yeah, David Vanderveen of XS Energy Drinks, who sponsors our surf report and also Skydive Elsinore on the sponsorship list as well. JMO, thank you. We'll have this podcast online, as always, on our new website at kx93.5.com. And we'll talk to you next time.
You guys have a great day.
You too, buddy. Man. See ya.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
How long ago is 1981, Tyler? Can you work it out?
24 years.
It's 24 years. Oh, this is his sorbet
34
of the day.
Years.
34 years ago. I should say that if you, like me, wake up flustered and obsessing, here's a quick cerebral sorbet. It's a cleanser for your mental palate. It's a brain peel, if you will. If you won't, it's still a brain peel. 34 years to this week, the Iran hostage crisis.
Mm.
Big deal, that. 444 days, diplomats, citizens of the United States held hostage in...
You mean the crisis that was based on the movie Argo?
I don't know. Never saw the movie Argo. So there you go. So there you are, go. Anyway, it's 34 years. It went on, as I say, it went on a long, long time. Actually, it started in 79, so that's 36 years. And it went on until 1981. It's a big deal, that. So here's your sorbet of the day to celebrate. Can you celebrate? Pay tribute to, I should say. The Iran hostage crisis came to me when I was thinking about the hostage crisis. Okay, so
as
relax.
You do every day.
So relax and just mellow, chill. And let it all just float away, because, frankly, it's all a load of old nonsense anyway. Just Just roll your shoulders back and forth a little bit. I'm doing yoga now. Namaste.
Get to the sorbet.
Here's the sorbet. They say that being a hostage is difficult, but I don't think so. I reckon I could do it with my hands tied behind my back.
That was the sorbet of the day.
Footloose, put on your Sunday shoes.
Okay.
Go cheese, Louise. Give me left buttock a squeeze. What is it?
1776 was a long time ago, my fellow Americans. Let's see if you still got it. It's time to play Beat the Brit on KX93.5.
Hello?
Hi, Chad.
Very exciting. And we love this Benny Hill.
Sorry, we had to let the whole thing play. All right, Chad's on the line. He called in because he wants to play a game of Beat the Brit against Jason Fetty. And Chad, tell everyone what you said with confidence when I picked up the phone.
I want to beat that Brit.
Yeah! I like his enthusiasm. So if you do win, Chad, would you like to see Kenny Loggins at Irvine Bowl?
What are the choices?
Well, you know what? We'll talk about that when you win.
Yeah, yeah. You sure, sound man, a little too confident, anyway. Pal.
All right, so the game's really simple. We're going to ask American history questions that I pulled from an 8th grade textbook. And if Jason Fetty can get more of them right than you, then you have not beaten the Brit, and we want you to beat the Brit. So we're going to start with that. No, it won't. You'll do great. Jason doesn't know anything.
Don't worry about it. Just take your time and relax. Just remember, you are speaking for the entire nation.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And you're live on the radio.
Yeah.
All right.
Nation
so,
of Laguna Beach.
We start with a really easy one. I've started with this one before. I will ask you first, Chad. When was America founded? What year was America founded?
1776.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that might be a trick question.
No, it wasn't a trick question.
When was the? Oh, it was different months, though, wasn't it? Was the Declaration of Independence wasn't signed on the 4th of July.
No, it wasn't technically, but I just asked the year. Jason Fetty, you knew that one as well, yeah. I'm assuming. So yeah. That was just a practice round. Now, here we go.
I might have got that wrong, you know. I might have been tried to be smart and said, oh, 1777.
All right, well, then we'll give Chad 1 point and Jason 0.
Okay.
Okay. Here we
go. I've got tickets for Kenny Loggins.
All right, Jason, you'll answer this one first. Who was a member of the Sons of Liberty?
Oh, no. Why did he get 1776?
And
I've
started
got some obscure thing.
Started the Committee of Correspondence to stir public support for American independence.
Oh, my God. It sounds like something Benjamin Franklin would do.
You're going to go with Ben Franklin?
Oh, yes.
All right, Chad?
I'd go with Ben Franklin, too, on that one.
The answer is Sam Adams.
Oh, my
Sam
God.
Wow,
Adams.
And, you know, really busy guy making the beer and
yeah, he was very
writing
busy.
The things. Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
All right, this next one is for Chad first. Who said his most famous words, give me liberty or give me death? Chad.
Oh, God, this is an easy one.
Donald Trump.
Of course, I can't remember it. Give me liberty. Oh, jeez.
Sam Adams.
I'm stumped on that one.
Nothing? You don't want to take a stab at it?
Paul Revere.
That's a good guess. Why not? Jason Fetty?
Well, I don't know what. You see, I was hoping you would get this, Chad, because it's not an easy one, is it?
No, it's not.
Jason,
you hear that quote all the
you
time.
You got to answer.
So
your
talk, an easy
clock's
one to
ticking.
Know.
Isn't time. It? It's the, I know the name of this guy, and he's got two
first names.
Oh, no.
All right, it's Patrick Henry.
Yes, Patrick.
Patrick Henry said, give me liberty
or
give me death.
Virginia Convention, my friends.
All right, Jason Fetty. What roughly does the Sixth Amendment say?
What?
The Sixth Amendment. What is this? Just you don't have to quote it. Just what does it do? What is the Sixth Amendment?
Well, it's an early one, so it must be a really sensible one. Well, maybe not. Oh, my God. You know what? I've no idea. It gives you the right to a parking sticker in Laguna. It gives you the right to not have cheese on you. Gluten-free. Oh, I don't
Chad, know. What is the Sixth Amendment?
Man, is it the right to bear arms?
No.
Is that the second one?
It's the Second Amendment. They're always going on about it.
The Sixth Amendment guarantees the right to a speedy public trial.
To a trial.
By an impartial jury.
Right.
Also the right to a lawyer, the right to cross-examine witnesses, and the right to force a witness at a trial to testify.
But it's just the right to a really depressing period in your life.
I think my eighth grade teacher would kill me at this point.
Hopefully she's not listening, Chad. She might be. All right, this is the last question. Jason, you will start this one.
Uh-oh.
Where were the first shots of the Civil War fired?
Civil War first shots.
Oh my god. No, I'm gonna, you know what? It's easy to just throw out silly words and names, but honestly, first shots of war. Somewhere, I don't know, I have no idea.
Okay, Chad, do you know?
I wanted to say Fort McHenry, but I know that's wrong. How about somewhere in Virginia?
Oh, your first one was pretty close. It's Fort Sumter.
That's close
Fort
enough.
Sumter,
South Carolina. I think you got it right, Chad, and I'm pretty sure you won.
Yeah, you did win.
They weren't your sort of
the first question threw us off, because 70-76, very easy question. And after that, it got complicated.
Yeah,
I thought.
It was difficult. A warm-up, and then it gets very challenging.
Yeah. Well, you're going to Kenny Loggins, mate, whether you like it or not.
Unless, Chad, you want to go see the Yardbirds.
You're going. You are going.
Sounds like I'm going to Kenny Loggins.
All right, you hold on the line. We'll work out your tickets, man. Thank you for calling in, and well done beating the Brit.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. All right, thanks. I'm all right.
Nobody but about me. Today's secret word is
stomach. Stomach.
Today's secret word is
stomach.
All right, KX93.5, Laguna's only FM, Daily Scramble Live, on a little late today because we've got a great band to feature all the way from Australia. The Paper Kites are here. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, everyone. Sam and Christina are on the microphones over there. They're going to play a stripped-down set for us. Very glad to have you. 2 days fresh off the boat, right?
Yeah, we're still recovering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a really bad cold as well because we went karaokeing in Sydney.
Well, that's probably the first mistake.
Yeah, I went a little bit too hard on Aretha Franklin's Respect, and I'm still paying for it.
And you were sharing a mic with other karaoke people, so it just gets spread around.
Yeah. But it was worth it.
So you went from Melbourne to Sydney to fly out, and you went out the night before you left.
Well, we played a show in Sydney.
Okay.
And then we had a few other shows, and we all went out. As you do. And we kind of came here straight away, so.
Yeah. We had to finish off the Australian tour, so.
That's right.
Yeah. That was our thank you and bon voyage.
Yeah. And now you've officially started the North American tour, right? And California was the first stop.
Yeah.
The show in LA tonight at the Troubadour and one in San Diego, both sold out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a really warm welcome to the United States.
Yeah. Have you been here before to California?
We have.
Yeah, we've been to California. This is our first show in LA, so
that's
very exciting. Yeah. So thank you, LA and California.
Now, that's what's cool, I think, about you guys. I mean, you've had a lot of success in Australia, and your second album, 12-4, just came out as a follow-up to a really critically acclaimed record, and it's translating across the seas. Does that surprise you? Did you expect that?
I think it's always a bit surprising, and yeah, I don't know, we... Even with our old stuff, the first time we came here, I think every time we come to, even cities in Australia, but particularly when we come to the States and people actually show up at our shows, it's so awesome. And we're still, always so grateful again. And,
well, that's a lovely attitude, actually. And if you keep that attitude, you'll go far, my dear. You'll be all right. Listen, so millions of hits on YouTube. By the way, watched the video this morning. What's the song with the faces that change?
You watched the Young video.
Yeah. It's just hypnotizing. It's brilliant to watch.
Did you see us in there?
No, I can't.
I don't think we would have noticed.
After about a minute, I think I saw me. It was really that hypnotizing. It was really
even Sam's dad is in it.
Yeah,
so. That's great. Yeah. That's really, it's wonderful. So millions of hits on that thing. And then Facebook, like 150,000 friends. Is that a bit disappointing that 3 million people watched the video and yet only 150,000 people liked you on?
Oh, look, every like special.
It's a lot of friends.
did you use, was that all different people in that video? And by the way, the video for Young, it just flashes faces singing the song the whole time. Is anybody repeat?
I think it does, yeah. Because we had about 350 people involved, so it wasn't heaps of people, but there's about 4,000 or 5,000 photos in there. So.
Yeah, we did a bit of a call out and said, if anyone wants to be involved in the video. They didn't really know what they were in for.
No.
And, yeah, they kind of showed up in this old warehouse and, yeah, sat down and got their photos taken. So
it was photos. I thought they were singing the song and you just took stills.
Well, it was really complicated. They took a whole bunch of photos of people making vowel sounds and then they had to...
Right.
Wow, yeah. That's extremely complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
They stood in line for an hour and a half and got the picture taken for 30 seconds.
With their mouths open.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Making an O.
But it's quite moving in an odd way because they're sort of normal faces. It's not... Oftentimes, you know, music videos, you just choose the beautiful people.
Yeah.
And these are just real normal people like you'd see every day in the street.
Yeah.
So it's really quite a... I found it quite moving after I'd, got up from the seizure, which it induced.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh.
It does make
harsh.
Your eyes go a bit funny it after a while.
It's not an easy watch.
No,
but it's really cool.
It's great, and it goes with the song beautifully. Really cool, yeah.
Well, I want to talk about the new record again, the Paper Kites in Studio. They've got a new album called 12-4, which is a concept album. So what does that mean? What's the story? What's the concept?
The idea was for album number 2 to... write the whole thing between the hours of midnight and 4 a.m. Only because it came about from a conversation I was having with a friend, and he had seen this interview with some screenwriters who were saying, oh, you know, that's the time that they write, you know, that's the time to do it. That's where you're at your kind of creative peak. And I sort of thought, oh, well, that's really interesting. Like, I've never tried that before. I'm going to do that and see if it changes my writing at all. And I ended up doing it for about 2 and a bit months and had about 30 songs by the end of it.
Wow.
Yeah, and then kind of gave it to the guys and we sort of cut down a record from that, yeah.
So what's the verdict between writing 12 and 4? Did it help?
I still don't know, man. I think it feels like it does, you know, like whether it's the kind of that placebo effect, like you don't actually know if you're writing better, but it feels like you are because it's sort of this like late night, romantic time of night, and you're kind of making music and it's all melancholy and such. Yeah, I don't know. But I loved it. I think it definitely definitely pushed me outside of my comfort zone.
Do you think your guard goes down?
Yeah. I think because you're so tired, you stop thinking about, like, you stop overanalyzing the songs you write, you know? Like, you might write a song during the day and you might stop halfway through and say, this isn't something I want to write because I don't think I like it, or I don't think like the rest of the band will like it, or even the fans. But at that time of night, I think you just kind of let it be what it wants to be because you want to go to bed.
You just want to get it over with.
Yeah. Check it the next day. Sort of put the filter on the next day and go, is this a good idea
or not? Yeah.
Sort of thing. I also imagine sort of on a practical level, the phone doesn't ring at that time of the day.
No.
Fewer distractions.
Yeah, the only phone ringing I had was my parents telling me to keep it down. Yeah,
that tells us a lot about where you were,
exactly,
what you were doing when you were on
that. That's really funny. Yeah. It's great.
Hey, did you guys bring any Vegemite with you?
Yes, I did. I've always wanted to
try some.
Oh, I should have brought it with me.
Yeah, I'd really like to try some.
Yeah, it's funny.
You don't want to try it.
The first couple of times we came, I was like, oh, we don't need Vegemite. Come on, we're not those Aussies. But then a couple of weeks in, we would all be saying to each other, oh, I wish I had Vegemite. I just feel like some Vegemite on toast.
Yeah.
So I bought a tube.
It's a yeast. It's a yeast spread, isn't it? Which, like Marmite or something.
Yeah, it's better than Marmite.
Is it? Well, whatever.
Well, they probably... I think it's better. do you
think it would make me sick? Like, would I...
I think the thing is, I've seen a few Americans try and eat it, but they eat it... They spread it as thick as you would sort of spread Nutella,
it's very thin,
or something like
that.
But you really
just a little.
It quite
just a taste. It's very salty.
It's quite salty, so...
Yeah. So my intestines would be okay if just... Followed your instructions.
It's an acquired taste, I think.
It's not poisonous. It's just...
No.
I still haven't acquired it.
I don't like the Marmite or the Vegemite. Not into it.
No.
It's not good. It takes... You know what it reminds me of? My dad had a car with leather seats when I was a kid. And on a warm day, few and far between in Britain, but on a warm day, if you touched the leather seats for any length of time, then you got out of the car and licked your fingers, That's what it tasted like to me.
It's pretty accurate.
A mixture of, my dad smokes a lot too, so smoke and leather is what it tastes like.
That might have been poisonous. Vegemite.
All right, let's have them play a song. How about that? Paper Kites are live in studio. That's Sam and Christine you've been hearing on the microphone. Whole band's here. Hi, everybody. And we'd love to hear a couple songs from you if that's cool. We'll kind of just let you guys do a set and maybe say a quick thing in between songs. But if you're ready, feel free to take it away.
Cool. This song is a song called Lying to You Because I'm Lost.
Shaking in the sun, counting all the times I run, trying to be honest, selfish from the point of view. How to get away from me? I've been held up in the OQC, watching out the window, crying in my hotel. Lying to you 'cause I'm
Nice job, you guys.
Oh, awesome. I was going to say, are we speaking now? Wow. That's my, well, you know, that's my kind of music.
Yeah, that was great. It's perfect for this time of morning, too. Paper Kites live on KX93.5. Now they're all the way from Melbourne, Australia. Just got to California a couple days ago, playing some shows here before continuing on a North American tour. I periscoped, Snapchatted, and tweeted that.
Wow, you're such a modern, you're a modern guy in a modern world.
If people can find this anywhere, hopefully right now, and hopefully you're listening from anywhere in the world at kx935.com.
I'll tell you something. That is an incredibly vulnerable and touching lyric, isn't it? No, really, it is. I'm lying to you, you know, because I'm lost. And what's the the cost of that is huge, man. You know, it's amazing that you know that at your tender age, that there's a cost to lying because you're lost.
Yeah, it's a pretty ballsy thing to admit, I think. And I kind of knew that when I wrote the song. I was like, that's a very...
I know, but I wanted to hug you. Like, I'm like, yes, I totally do that. And I don't realise the impact on the people around me and the cost to me for doing it. And wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This has been a deeply philosophical moment for me.
All right, Sam, what are you going to play next?
This is another song off the record. It's called Turns Within Me, Turns Without Me.
Cool. Whenever you're ready.
Cool.
Thank you. Great, so great. And because people can't see the band in the studio here today, but everybody's smiling, and that's a very good sign.
Awesome job, you guys. Beautiful. The Paper Kites all the way from Australia. California tour, unfortunately, that you can't attend unless you already have tickets. But we're so glad you guys made it in studio. The new album, 12-4, is out. Anywhere in particular you'd like people to go to find it?
You can get it online, I think, at the moment, from our website, www.thepaperkites.com.au. Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing everyone out on the road. Yeah. You can get it at shows if you're coming.
Great. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. That was really awesome.
Thank you.
No worries.
Very happy to have you. Thanks. Cheers. See you soon.